Father, we thank you that the cross of Jesus stands above everything. Thank you that it is through the cross that we can find forgiveness and healing. Thank you that in the cross of Jesus we are accepted. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that you have blessed us in so many ways. And we pray right at the start, Lord, would you send your Holy Spirit upon us to fill us, that today we may experience afresh your love being poured into our hearts, and that we may know the true blessing of life in Jesus Christ today. Amen. Would you like to take a seat? Firstly, may I welcome you here this morning. It's great to see you. If this is the first time you've been here with us, we give you a very special welcome. I hope you've been offered a cup of tea and a cup of coffee as you came in, and that you know where the facilities are if you need them. If you're newish to the church, we would love to get to know you, and for you hopefully to get to know us, and you'll find some connect cards in the pews. Again, we'd love you to take one of those and fill it in and hand it in to either one of the welcomers or pop it in the offertory bag so that we can get to know each other. I've just got a few notices. And first of all, I hope that if you haven't received it on email as you walked in, you'll have seen a welcome notice sheet. Please do take one and use it to remind you of all the things going on this week. Coming up very shortly, we have our first Messy Church, and it's on the 23rd of March at 3:30 till 5:30. You can book online via Eventbrite, and we're already up to about 90 people coming, and there's a need for cake, because they're eating cake. So if you can help, would you see Alice? Alice, would you stand up, turn around, wave to everybody? Please do offer your help and support to Alice. And then the other thing is that on Mothering Sunday, we are hoping that the men of the church will look after the ladies of the church. And Graham came up to me this morning and he said, I need men. So Graham, who's going to stand up and do a twirl? Graham needs somebody who knows how to work coffee machines and dishwashers and is really good at serving. So if you're a man and you'd love to help on Mothering Sunday, please do see Graham afterwards. And then fast approaching is Easter, and in Holy Week there's a Holiday at Home event. And if you have been to Holiday at Home before, or you're eligible, what age is it, Peter? 55 plus? I'm not saying if I qualify or not. If you've been on that mailing list before but you haven't returned a GDPR form, we won't be able to contact you. So please pick up a form at the back and fill it in so that you can be contacted. I think that's all the notices. The other thing is that sadly, Blake is unwell, and Melissa, who should be leading the next part of the service, is not here. So sadly for you, you're going to have to put up with me. So what I want you to do is, with the people around you, would you just turn to them and what are the things that make you happy? What are some of the things that make you happy? If you are with us for the first time, please don't worry, I'm not going to pick on you. But some of our more regulars, I might. Daniel and Rhoda, they're of what makes you happy? Obviously not a lot, because you didn't talk much. What makes you happy?
Exercise.
Tim?
Food.
Okay. Anybody else like to say what makes them happy? Have I got to run?
Chocolate biscuits.
Chocolate biscuits. Julie?
Yeah, same. Chocolate biscuits.
We've got a whole pack.
They're eating a whole pack of chalky biscuits at the back here because that's what makes them happy. Anybody else? What makes you happy?
Family.
Great. Bernie, what makes you happy?
My children.
Your children. Fantastic. Anybody else?
Sunshine.
Sunshine, yeah. Okay, so I want to ask another question now. What makes you blessed? Anybody like to say what makes them blessed? And is it different from what makes you happy? What makes you blessed? Hugh.
The sunrise.
The sunrise makes you blessed. Okay, anybody else? What makes you blessed?
Good health.
Good health. Okay. Anybody else? So in our gospel reading this morning, we're looking at what Jesus says. He says, blessed are the poor. We don't often think of that, do we? It seems upside down. And there's that saying I love that happiness happens to happen when happenings happen to happen the way we want them to happen. Did you get that? So happiness happens to happen when happenings happen to happen the way we want them to happen. And unhappiness happens to happen when happenings happen the way we don't want them to happen. But when we're blessed, isn't that something much deeper? You know, we're blessed by our kids. But sometimes our kids bring us unhappiness, do they not? What is it that we can understand about God's blessing on us, even when we're poor, hungry, when we're weeping? And actually, you'll see later on in the passage, even when we are hated. Interesting things to think about. Father, we thank you that we can trust in you with every aspect of our lives and who we are. And Lord, we pray today you would lead us deeper into that trust so that we may walk with you whatever life circumstances bring, knowing we are truly blessed. Thank you that you love us and gave yourself for us. We bring you our praise and our worship today in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an amazing God who loves us, who cares for us. He loves us whatever we've done. But he loves us to come and to say sorry for the things that we do wrong. And his promise is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So let's bring our confession to God this morning, knowing that he will hear and forgive us. We say together, Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, I confess with my whole heart my neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, my wrongdoing, thinking, and speaking, the hurts I have done to others, and the good I have left undone. O God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and raise me to newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. As Julie comes to read to us, just a couple more things to mention this morning. and that is we begin the process of renewing our electoral roll this week. If you have already been a member of our electoral roll, you will need to fill in a new form, and there is a box at the back, or you can send it to our office, because the electoral roll is completely renewed this year. So if you haven't already done so, please could you grab a form, fill it in, and let us have it back. If you're new to the church and you're not sure what that means, then I would love to have a chat with you, or Nigel or Gail or somebody else in leadership would love to chat to you about including you on the electoral roll. The other thing is that many of you will, I'm sure, remember David and Jane Hutchinson. David was vicar here for many years. And sadly, Jane passed away this week. Their son Mark has been in contact with us, and we're looking at funeral arrangements. We're not sure whether it will happen here or elsewhere at the moment. But would encourage you to bear in your prayers David particularly, and also Mark and his wife Angel. And again, as we think about blessings and the song we've just sung, Mark emailed me and said that actually Angel's father also died a week ago, and they were in Hong Kong for his funeral when they heard that Mark's mum had died. But he ended his email by saying, "Faith in Jesus Christ at this moment of time means everything. And knowing the blessing of God, even in the valley of the shadow of death." What a testimony from a man who knows and loves Jesus Christ as his Saviour.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 17, and this is being read from the New International Version. Jesus went and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I wonder what some of the things were that you were sharing that make you happy. And I wonder what some of those things were that you were sharing together that makes you blessed. Of course, good health doesn't necessarily make you happy, but you may well feel blessed because you have good health. The people on Alpha will know that my jokes are not always funny, and even though it might elicit a little giggle, it's not necessarily a blessing for you to hear my jokes. I won't subject you to any this morning, and if you want some, see Colin or Peter. They both have so many of that are, may I say, much worse than mine. But what does this word mean, blessed? And why is there such a contrast in what Jesus says? Because on the face of it, doesn't it seem it should be the other way around? How can you be blessed when you're poor and hungry and weeping and when people hate you? Because I think our mindset immediately puts us in the position that we think we're blessed when we're rich, that we have plenty of food and choice, when we are not weeping but we're laughing and happy, when we're loved by everyone. Isn't that the world's mindset? And so I want to ask a question this morning. I'm not sure where this thought has just come from, but as I was right at the start of the service, I just sensed God saying, are we contributors or are we consumers? Because the mindset of the consumer surely is to be rich, to be well fed, to be looked after, as opposed to the mindset of the contributor who's prepared to give away, to contribute to the life and the well-being of others. And what does this word really mean, blessed? Thinking about this contradiction that seems to be there in these passages, that blessed are those who are poor, hungry. The Good News translation actually translates it as happy. But actually, I don't think that that's the best translation, which is why I asked Julie to read from the NIV. The Greek word that's used here for blessed is makarios. It means to be fully satisfied by God. A satisfaction that comes from knowing who God is, from knowing what God has done for us, and knowing who we are in God because of what he has done for us. And is a blessing that's based not on an outward circumstance, but on the knowledge of all that God has achieved for us through the cross. The Amplified Bible says this: blessed with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart or outside of your outward conditions. It's this contented status that comes from security in who God is primarily and what he promises then to us as his children, knowing that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, and that we have no need to doubt anything that God says and promises us. And therefore it's about knowing who we are in God and through all that he has done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ. I think the Bible is full of these contradictory ways of thinking that are upside down to us. So Jesus says to his disciples, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. And Jesus says that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And then Jesus says that the meek are the ones who will inherit the earth. Those who are truly humble will be the ones who are lifted up. And Jesus says in this passage that when we are poor, when we are hungry, when we are weeping, when we are persecuted, we are blessed. We have the favor of God. But what does this mean to be poor and hungry? To be weeping and persecuted? I think we have to turn partly to Matthew's gospel to see there what Jesus is saying, because in Matthew's gospel there's some slight expansion on some of those words. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Somebody has said, if that you would like to expand the word poor with one extra word, they would use the word dependent. When we become dependent on God, when we realize that of ourselves we can do nothing, that we are poor and penniless in the presence of God and his glory and majesty, when we are spiritually poor. Of course, in the time that Jesus was writing this, or Jesus was saying this, and the disciples were writing it, there was no social security. There was no welfare benefits. If you were poor, you were dependent on those around you. And we're called to be those people who are dependent on God and the provisions that he gives us. And recognizing that we are poor in spirit. Those who depend on God, who recognize that we need to rely on God. Because of ourselves, we can do nothing to earn our salvation. However good we are, however good we think we are. Jesus tells a parable, doesn't he? He tells a parable of about a man who owed a master a lot of money. And the way that that parable is described, he uses hyperbole to explain just how huge this debt is, so that the people reading it would get the idea that this is an impossible debt ever to pay back. Even if you work for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I'm reminded of that scripture that says that God in Jesus, who was rich beyond all splendor, yet for our sakes became poor, so that we who are poor through his poverty might become rich. We are poor in spirit. And when we realize that, when we understand our poverty before God, and we come before him dependent on him and receiving what he offers us freely through the cross, then surely we become truly blessed. As God by his Spirit gives us new life in him. For those who have a problem they know they can't fix, when we know that we have an issue that we can't talk our way out of or run away from, when we choose to return to our Maker and Creator, desperate and dependent on his mercy, as poor people we become truly blessed. And then the scripture says, blessed are the hungry. And again, the passage in Matthew helps us with this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, is what Matthew's gospel says. And I think there are two aspects to that as well. There's this sense of hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness in our hearts and lives, knowing actually how wretched we are in so many ways. And as we begin to hunger for God to fill us and to transform our lives, as we are thirsty for his living water to be poured in us, we become blessed. Because the promise is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's that passage, isn't it, in John's gospel when Jesus talks about him being the living water, and that when we drink of him, out of us will flow rivers of living water. See, the Jews thought initially that he was talking about something that would flow from the temple, but Jesus says, no, it's going to be in you. You'll get this satisfaction, this empowering, this living water in you, And John clarifies it and he says, by this Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit. And what does a righteous person look like? What are the sort of actions and attitudes of somebody who is truly righteous, who hungers for the righteousness of God and receives it? What's the external characteristics that you would begin to see? Well, I think it's, if you're filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, self-control. I don't know about you, but I need some of that. Don't you? But are we hungering and thirsting for that? Do we want to allow God, by His Spirit, to transform who we are? And I think it's not only for a hunger for that internal righteousness, but it also then becomes a hunger for external righteousness. Because as God begins to change us, He opens our eyes to see what's in the world around us that needs transforming. And as His people, we're called to be those who speak out for justice, for inclusion, for those who are excluded, for us to begin to see the love of God being poured into people's hearts externally and to see the world begin to change. And as God fills us with His Holy Spirit, to speak out about these things, including seeing the righteousness of God begin to come to other people's lives as we tell them about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them and how can they can be transformed if they ask Jesus Christ into their lives. We call that evangelism. All it is telling the good news about the righteousness that God wants to bring to every person. Are we hungry for that? Blessed are those who are hungry for righteousness. And then he goes on to say, blessed are those who weep. You know that we love, the word I was going to use that Lois and I are alphaholics. I did say alpha. Just make sure that gets on the tape. Alpha holics. We love running Alpha. Because every time we run Alpha, we see people's lives being changed. And yesterday we had our Holy Spirit Day when we talked about the person and the work of God's Holy Spirit. And so often when we are on that day, what we see is people weeping. Why are they weeping? Well, I think one, if they begin to experience something of the holiness of God, we can't help but weep and mourn our condition. And once we begin to experience the love of God being poured into our hearts, we cannot help but emotionally respond to the love of God. Sometimes that's weeping. And surely as we see in ourselves our own failures and weaknesses, and when we begin to understand the true holiness and separation of God, and we catch a glimpse of His glory, surely it should bring us to the point of weeping for our sins. If you'd been at one of our BCP services on an 8 o'clock service in the morning, when we come to our confession, there are words in the confession that say this: we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our misdoings. I wonder if our sins and wickedness bring us to a place of bewailing them, of recognizing how grievous they are, and that God, in his justice, has the right to have his wrath set against us. But because of what Jesus has done, that wrath is removed and we receive the grace and mercy. But we understand something of what we really are. Doesn't that bring us to a point of weeping? And then when we see the world around us and we see what's going on in our world, the killings that have recently been on our news, the stabbings, the shootings, doesn't what make us want to weep before our God and to cry out for his righteousness, for his justice? Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are you when people hate you because of me." Please know that it doesn't say, "Blessed are you when people hate you." It says, "Blessed are you when you are hated because of me." When there's something in our life and witness that demonstrates that we are children of God, when we speak out against the injustices in the world and we try to bring the presence of God through Jesus Christ into our world, you know, it will put some people's backs up. And people will hate us because of what we're trying to do. But Jesus says when we're prepared to take that stand, we will be blessed. And sometimes taking that stand is hard. But the promise of God is that we will know his blessing in our lives. The other side of this, Jesus speaks out and warns us quite clearly, but woe to you. Again, the Greek word here really means alas for. Alas for you who are rich. And why does Jesus say, alas for you who are rich, who are well fed, who are laughing, who are liked by everyone? Because I think that what it says to us here is that when we place our faith and trust in our possessions, when we place our faith and trust in the provision that in this country we have so much around us in terms of food and clothing and provision, when we place our faith and trust that actually the next meal we only have to drive down to Sainsbury's, when we place our faith and trust in our own ability, God says, watch out. Because there'll come a time when if you've placed your faith and trust in you, you will really be found out for who you are. And that will be a time then of being hungry for God's righteousness when it will be too late. A time when you'll be weeping and mourning because of the righteousness that was offered to you through Jesus Christ. The opportunity has passed. When we place our faith and trust in the riches and wealth and in the things that we're able to do and exclude God from the picture, then we are those actually to be most pitied. So as we just come to the end, just to think about where we are in the picture. You know, are we just consumers of the wealth around us? Are we so satisfied that we never have a hunger and a thirst for God's righteousness, for his presence? Are we so satisfied that actually it doesn't even cross our minds? Or are we beginning, and are we prepared to begin to cry out to God, Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness as we recognize our poverty before you? Some people ask me why I very rarely use the liturgy towards the end of the communion service, where it says it's the prayer of humble access that people would know it as, where we say, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. If we were using the BCP order of service, that comes before we pray the Eucharistic prayer that acknowledges all that Jesus has done to make us worthy. And if we use Eucharistic prayer B, we say, thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. And then we go on to say, but I'm not worthy, which seems the wrong way round for me. But you see, once we understand that we were not worthy, but we are worthy through Jesus Christ, surely what it will make us want to do is not to be consumers, but to be contributors to the life of God's kingdom, and to pray with earnestness to see his righteousness, his kingdom, his glory come in and among us. Somebody has said, there is something much more wonderful on offer than everything this world calls comfort. It is the favor and blessing of God. Something so much more satisfying, so much grander, so much more far-reaching and complete, pleasing and right. And C.S. Lewis said, we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. But like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. May God stir our hearts this morning. May we be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and look for the infilling of his Holy Spirit to make us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to continue as we pray together.
In our prayers this morning, when I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, please respond, hear our prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you in prayer today and share with you the joys and the concerns of our heart. Thank you that no matter how hard the circumstances we face, you are with us. Help us to find true satisfaction, not in earthly comforts, but in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we mourn with New Zealand at the loss of 50 lives in the shooting at the mosque in Christchurch. Please bring comfort to the families and friends of those who have died, and bring your healing to the 50 or so who were injured in the horrific attack. as the world reels from such an act of hatred. Help us not to return hate with hate, but to stand together in unity for peace and justice. Forgive us, Lord, when we commit acts of hatred, whether a harsh word spoken or a threat written in a Facebook comment. Open our eyes to the damage done in words and actions against your children whom you love. Strengthen and guide those working for justice, peace, and reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember in our prayers the victims of the Ethiopian plane crash. Please bring your comfort to those mourning. We also remember the victims of recent stabbings, including that of Jody Chesney. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to flood the streets of our country and transform lives damaged by knife crime, gangs, and drugs. As justice is brought this week to the killers of Tavis, we pray for all involved and ask that you bring a sense of peace to Tavis's friends and family. As your word makes it clear that we are to pray for neighbours and enemies alike, we pray today for every member of the Nino gang and the J Block gang. Protect these young people of Ipswich. Keep them safe and give them the courage to break the cycle of retaliation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With so much sorrow and suffering in the world, it's easy to forget to thank you for the amazing moments of love and compassion shown. So, Lord, we thank you for the incredible amount of £63,548,668 that Comic Relief raised on Friday night. Lord, would you bless the projects and people who will receive the money and inspire us all to work together for a greater good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we think of our own country, we pray for our Queen and our government. Please grant the government wisdom as they search for a satisfactory solution to Brexit, and grant us all patience and love for those who hold different views to our own. We pray for the worldwide church, for our Archbishops Justin and John, our Bishops Martin and Mike, and our own church here of St. Augustine's. Set us on fire for your gospel and make us effective in our witness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we bring before you those known personally to us in need of our prayer. In a moment of silence, we name them in our hearts. Father, please meet our needs through your Holy Spirit and enable us to be answers to prayer in the way that we live our lives. And now let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Just while we remain standing, I just believe that God today wants to do a work in people's hearts and lives by his Spirit, to come and to bless you. I just sense that God is saying there are people here who feel they can't be blessed. that either you're not good enough, or that you've done something that you think excludes you from being blessed by God. Well, that's a lie. And I believe that today God wants to bless your socks off. That's a theological term. And the prayer ministry team are here. They will pray for you. The prayer ministry team will start to come out now. But I also think that there are people who are here who are thinking, I'm not hungry and I'm not thirsty for God's righteousness, but I want to be. And God just, if you ask him, his promise is that he will hear and respond. And he'll make you thirsty. So if that's you, if you're hungering and thirsty, or not, or wanting to be hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness, then again, do come forward and the prayer ministry team will pray with you. But also, just going back to the passage we read, there were people who came to Jesus because they perceived his power to heal. And that power to heal is still present today. And in Jesus' name, we would love to pray healing for you and over you, to pray with you and for you. And if there's something in your heart and life today that needs healing, or if you feel you need delivering from something, then God says to you, come, come and receive, because we have a good, good God who wants to bless you, to heal you, and to make you hungry for his righteousness. So may we pray. Father, this morning we pray that you would give us a true hunger and thirst for you, your righteousness, and for your Holy Spirit. And we cry out to you now, would you send your Holy Spirit to come and fill us, to make us hungry for you. Lord, we pray for that living water to begin to well up and spring up out of us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that we may begin to experience something of your presence, your holiness, Lord. And as we humbly recognize our poorness before you, would you pour in the riches of your grace? Would you pour your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit? Come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now and remain with you this day and always. Invitation in this song that is playing, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your hearts in the stream, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of God's mercy as deep cries out to deep. Sing, come Lord Jesus, come.